This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. Well, this week we're going to talk about children coming into the sport, and joining me from California is Brian and Lisa Sabo. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here.
Welcome, too.
Well, we're going to talk about something that you're both very involved with, and that is teaching children. Getting them to come into the sport, that's the key, isn't it, Brian?
Well, I really believe so. You know, as former president of USEA, the one thing that I became very aware of looking at our numbers, our growth numbers as far as members, was that the ones coming in at the bottom weren't as large as we would want for any kind of a growth organization. I think we can all agree that if we're going to grow, any sport's going to grow, you need to have children coming in at the bottom in order to have more and more quality people at the top. So certainly a huge passion of mine is to bring more children into the sport.
And you would have gone through Pony Club, as indeed I did, but you know, growing up, obviously across the pond, there was a different culture to this. What was the culture like for you when you got started, and how you were encouraged to participate?
When I was young, in fact, Lisa and I, we grew up on the same street and grew up in the same Pony Club together. And when we were young, there was no question that the way to start probably wasn't any different than for you over in the UK. We all started in Pony Club. It was the traditional way. If you were going to be an eventer, that's where you started. So most of the people that I knew in eventing when I was very young were Pony Clubbers. And I think that drifting away from that over time it was part of the problem in creating a gap between those who were Pony Clubbers and those who weren't. And I know Lisa's working very hard with her group to and USEA as well in reintegrating the idea that Pony Club really is the foundation of what we should be doing as eventers.
And it does give us a very sound foundation, doesn't it, Lisa? Let's talk about your involvement with the Pony Club. Which Pony Club is it?
Well, we started the Newport Mesa Pony Club Riding Center about 3.5 years ago. And I was at a stable. I had some time. I had a few parents there, and their kids were in just doing hunter jumper programs. And the mothers really wanted me to start a Pony Club. So that's how I got started, and I started what's called the Riding Center, which is a kind of a new type of pony club where it's more run by the trainers, because so many parents work these days, it's difficult to find a lot of volunteers or a lot of parents with time. Also, I'm able to have school horses. So at first, when the pony clubbers get started, they don't necessarily need to go out and buy a horse. They can come and ride on my school ponies and get started. And it's just been great. It's grown tremendously, and once the kids get going, they start to lease the pony, and then they eventually buy a pony, and I get them started in eventing, which is my dream and my passion, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, that is the key, isn't it? Getting them at an early age when they have so many choices, don't they, Lisa? I mean, that's the challenge these days, isn't it? Because obviously the diversity of opportunities for them, both in the sporting arena as well as the arts and other interests, it does make it more challenging, I think, for any group to draw them into that sport and keep them there.
That's exactly right, because so many of my kids, they come for a lesson, typically. We call it our introductory lesson, and they come and we show them stuff. And I actually tell the parents at first, sign them up for once a week. And they come once a week, and after a few months, they typically sign up for one of our camps. And I employ all these girls that want to do horses, so it's fabulous for my instructors, too, because it gives them a place of employment where they're with the horses, and a lot of them are young 20-year-olds. They're going through college, and so then the kids will come to the camp, and then they want to do twice a week, and they can do that at first as they're juggling their volleyball and their soccer and their cheer and whatever else they're doing. And then eventually they get into a half week, so they only need to come out 3 days a week instead of a full-time commitment. But what I find is so often, as always, the horse people know that it overtakes the horses. You know, the kids just want to do horses, so eventually the parents want to buy and the kids want to start eventing.
Yes, hopefully it is that passion for horses that draws them in and keeps them in. But Brian, I want to come to you about the gender issue. We know that in so many sports there often is a gender issue, but we don't have that problem in equestrian sport, much less in eventing, of course. Women are just as good as men. We play on an equal playing field. But do you find with young people you have a different, maybe a different culture between the boys and the girls as they're starting to get a hold of the sport? And is there any hesitation there?
Well, no. Sadly, I wish there were more boys involved in our pony clubs, but sadly it does seem to be dominated by the girls. I think that culturally, you know, we were talking about all the availability of sports, and you know, when people are little, they want to hang out with the same gender. So you know, the little boys want to hang out with little boys, and unfortunately we've had boys come into our club, but it's a little daunting. I mean, Lisa has a big club, you know, so there might be, you know, it's like 40 plus kids, and of those, 38 of them or 39 of them are girls, and they're all between the ages of 6, 7, and 14, 15. And so, a little boy walks into that who's 8, and that's a pretty scary thing. And so, he's more likely to gravitate toward football or baseball or things where he's likely to see still culturally likely to see a higher percentage of males out there. So. But I think over time that will change. I think Pony Club has the potential to do that. It's a matter of getting enough momentum of boys in the sport at the lower end that we'll see even more. So it'd be great to see more equality there. Now, once they hit 13, 14, their eyes are open to a whole new set of possibilities by being in Pony Club. So then we can keep them. We can get them to that age, boys will stick.
Yes, I mean, in terms of that hesitation I referred to, do you think it's the boys that think, well, this is a girls' sport, this is not something I can make a career out of in this country?
I think it's possible that's the case if we can keep them in long enough. So I don't think that's going to be the case. I really do think at the beginning it's just a numbers game. You know, if every trainer out there right now who's teaching people at the one-star level, let's say they're USEA ICP level one or above person, if they all put in 10 little kids a year, eventually you see more members, you see more boys and more girls. I think the hesitation really is at the lowest end. We don't get enough boys because there's just not enough boys getting in the sport. I don't see a problem at the high end at all as far as people. It's a very balanced, I think, balanced number of men and women at the highest end as far as instructors.
Yes, but I'm thinking of the children now, which is our focus today. Lisa, do you have any observations that you would want to share with us about girls versus boys, you know, and their attention to detail in the barn, maybe? Because we know that the great thing about eventing is that we do look at all-round horsemanship, and we're hoping that we can teach those skills and how important it is for them in the barn. But what do you find are the differences between the boys and girls' attitude to that?
Yeah, well, exactly that. The girls, you know, most of our kids that are getting started are between 8 and 12. And just girls are more intellectual at that age. Boys want to run out and hit the ball, and girls want to pay attention to the details. And as you grow through riding, especially in the dressage and the flat work, it becomes quite intellectual. And boys at that age it's harder for them, and it takes them a little more time. And I think at that age, that's the difference between the boys and the girls. Plus, the boys have a lot more outside influences like soccer, football, baseball, these other sports that are strong pulls, and the team camaraderie atmosphere. That's the one thing I find with Pony Club, outside of just having a beginner riding stable, Pony Club emphasizes team and sportsmanship and working together as a team. And so I think that's kind of how you can link in boys, because boys like that. They like that doing stuff together and watching the whole club is together. Everyone likes that. So, but I think long term, if the boys stick with it, once they're in their 18, 20 year old, then you've really got kind of a horseman for life, really. It's just keeping them to stick that long and competing with the other sports. That's also what's nice about having a riding center where they can maybe lease instead of own, because they aren't committed to 6 days a week riding. They're committed to 3 days a week riding, so they can balance it with the other sports.
Brian, we've seen, haven't we, in recent years, the change in culture between being an athlete, being a sports person, and the training. There's different priorities now today. People want that instant gratification. They want to go and compete. Do you find there's a difference between the boys and the girls? I kind of come back to the gender issue, or is it just across gender now that young people want to compete and don't want to spend the time in the training at a younger age?
Oh, definitely. And definitely same with the parents. I'm in constant education of my parents that we're teaching horsemanship here, and it's not all about winning when you're riding horses. Sometimes it's, many times, I would say it's about going and learning and bettering your horse. And sometimes, many times, you'll come out of an event feeling just fantastic. Maybe don't have a ribbon around your neck or a medal, but you feel that you rode great and your horse did great, and you taught your horse something and you overcame some just huge issues. So teaching the parents and the kids that it's not all about winning, because that's what they get in soccer. You've got those overactive parents that it's all about winning. And horsemanship is not like that. It's more a long-term sport and overcoming many things with an animal.
Brian, with the children that you work with, do you see peer pressure on them to influence them in their attitude to the sport at an early age?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, kids are brutal on one another, and that's one thing that Lisa, with her barn, she's always having to work with, is making sure these kids aren't, especially today with social media. Really, I really feel for parents raising children these days. They have way too much access to each other by all different kinds of media, and all the things that happened when we were kids, you know, happened at a massive rate of speed and in massive quantities as far as picking on one another and passing notes and things like that. And they're doing it on Twitter, they're doing it on Facebook, they're doing it on all sorts of social media apps. And so it does create huge challenges for the parents and for the trainers. So there's a lot involved. And I'd like to echo as well what Lisa just said, because there's no doubt that we don't want to become other sports. You know, we want to be what we are, and it may take more numbers. You have to go through more numbers because kids are being socialized in both genders to win at a T-ball, be the winner at T-ball. And our sport's just not that way. And so we have to adopt the attitude that it's not for everyone. It's for a very particular kind of person. And we have to go through the numbers at a large enough rate of speed to find those kids who do appreciate the time it takes to become a good horse person, rather than bending our sport to fit the day. I really think the equestrian sports are particular. Eventing in particular is one that you just can't buy your way to the top. You have to be a person who's willing to get in the trenches and work hard for what you accomplish. And I think that makes us different, and I think we should applaud that difference and work to that difference rather than move away from it.
Well, that brings me to dedication and that diligence, that determination, the passion that becomes integral in that rider to be a horseman or a horsewoman, as well as being a successful competitor. Lisa, talk about that in the barn and how you find young people are applying that. Are they as disciplined? Are they as passionate and disciplined to be the all-round horsemen and women? Is it that love that we had as children?
Well, definitely a few of my kids have that. I can look at a few of my kids and see myself. And I, when I started riding at our pony club up the street, I just wanted to be there every day. And we had Hilda Gurney as our mentor, and she had just this incredible discipline and passion for the sport. And so I think Brian and I both absorbed that, and we still work that today. And some kids have it and some kids don't. But that's okay, because everyone's different and we're touching everyone in a different way. And maybe that person that doesn't quite have it at the moment, maybe they're also doing some other sport. We're still touching them in a positive way that they'll come back to it, or maybe in future years they will come back to it. And that's the way I look at our camps that we do. I have several girls that run my camps, and we just advertise online. Actually, now we have so much momentum with our camps that people just know about them. And I know that out of our camps, only 10% of the kids are going to continue riding, but the other 90%, we made a difference. We introduced them to horses. They leave knowing a little bit about horses. They'll come back next year and they know a little bit more about horses. And they understand horses, and I hope we're going to make them better people and better citizens. And then some of them will continue to ride in lessons, and some of them will continue to ride and become instructors and be like Brian and I, and just have this discipline and passion and want to continue through. And then hopefully some of them will become Olympians for the United States, right?
Right. Well, we always hope so, of course. But tell us about the camps, how often they are, the length of time you run them, and what you include in them, Lisa.
Yeah, we do 6 weeks during the summer, and then we do winter camp and spring break camp, and I guess they call it ski week in February, and then in April we do spring break. And typically we do them 5 days, Monday through Friday from 9 to 2. I have a great camp workbook that I've put together. It's about 20 pages that go through barn rules, parts of the horse, parts of the saddle, parts of the bridle, how to properly lead. And so the kids get a very good introduction to horses, and a lot of the information I've picked up from Pony Club through the years on getting someone involved. And many of the kids come out of camp, just our winter camp here we had in February. I would say, just a few minutes ago I said 10% continuous lessons, but I think we had 100% turnover on that camp. All those kids wanted to come back for lessons. And but it's a good introduction, and they're with the horses and the instructors for 5 hours instead of just that 1 hour of their lessons. So for 5 hours, they're just absorbed in horses, and they're great fun. And my instructors who teach it, just they're great. They love it. And my pony clubbers all come and volunteer for the camp. I end up having just this whole slew of kids out on the grass and under my picnic tables all day. It's so much fun. It's great. So.
And how many of them would you say stay in the pony club program?
Well, from the camp, I typically say then we get them riding first on a weekly basis, and I kind of hold Pony Club out as a carrot, as a goal to work towards. I like the kids to be able to walk, trot, and canter around the big arena with other kids or riders before I let them join Pony Club. So I make it an honor, and I'll come in from riding my own horses or teaching the upper-level kids, and almost every day I'll have a little kid look up at me and say, I can almost canter around the big arena, Mrs. Sabo. And, coach, they'll call me Coach Sabo, and because they want to do that, because then they know I'll let them join Pony Club. So I have about 10 kids right now that are working really hard. And we have about 20 to 30 active kids in our club, in our Pony Club. It comes for lessons. And right now, actually, this morning, I was preparing for the quiz rally this weekend. Anyway, it all just keeps turning over, and I keep Pony Club out there as a goal so they can join it. So when they're ready to get into Pony Club, they're ready to go for their D1 test, and they're ready to start activities And then, of course, it's my goal, my secret goal, is to get them eventing and get them to a USDA event and enjoy the passion and the love for eventing that I have.
Well, Brian, of course, one thing that goes hand in hand with this is the North America Junior and Young Rider Championships. Do you see many from your program that actually have that opportunity, have their own horse, and make it through the Young Rider, Junior and Young Rider ranks?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that that's really the key. I'm coaching this year for Area 6, and this is going to be a great year for our area. But in the past, and we've been able to field numbers of teams, two-star teams and one-star teams. And this last few years, I know the numbers have dropped off just a little bit, and we were down to just one-star teams. And I think that that's going to change. I think you're going to see that over the next 5 to 10 years, I think that we're going to see a huge growth in the NAJYRC numbers for all the areas that they can draw from to send teams to the championships. I really firmly believe that. I think what's held the sport back, in my opinion, is that the trainers just haven't had beginner programs, and for all sorts of reasons. And a lot of it's just cultural. I know that when I began as a professional in the sport, I was like many people that came out of the '60s, who there was a ready-made population of riders to work with. The professional class of trainer hadn't really evolved yet in the eventing world. It was already existing in the Hunter Jepper world. The barn that Lisa and I came from, our pony club, evolved out of the Hunter Jepper barn. Hilda Gurney was originally a trainer at Hunter Jepper barn in the Southern California area when she broke away and started her own barn, which became a pony club. But so it evolved out of a beginner program, and that's where I started. But there were very few event trainers in the '60s who began beginner programs. There were a few notable ones here in California, Corey Walkie with Mill Creek, who evolved out of the same environment as Hilda did. And so when she began her eventing barn as a very young woman, she began with the idea of a beginner program, and she had and still continues to have a huge lesson horse program, as did Yves Sauvignon with his barn at Oak Ridge. They had a pony school. They called it the European Pony School, where they began small children. And in that era, when those kids who started in that pony school or started at Corey Walkie's, then grew up into the '70s and '80s, if you look back, at least in Area 6, when we had huge numbers of people on our young rider team, a lot of those people came out of those two beginner programs. But other trainers in the area didn't start beginner programs. And if you did, I'm just using those two as examples. But those barns that had beginner programs, they've produced the largest number of juniors and young riders in our area. And I'm sure that's the same in most areas. I can hardly imagine the growth potential if more trainers did that. But culturally, because people in our sport just didn't do that. It wasn't the norm. The norm was you hung your shingle up and you just absorbed whatever vendors were in your area as your students, and people poached from one another, and people went back and forth depending on who was winning the most of the time, and they would switch barns, and but people weren't producing their own. They weren't starting them from scratch. They weren't planting seeds. They were just grabbing plants that were already grown. And so what we're really promoting is this idea that if we just all of us plant more seeds, then we're going to have more crops to harvest. And there's just no doubt about that in my mind.
And in terms of those young people then, once they get past their education, that would stay in the sport, how many do you see, Brian, that are becoming professional?
Well, at this point, we're I would say a few. It's just a few. I can think of a few kids right now that we've raised, that have grown up and become professionals. Little kids like Gina Miles, who started out on Pony Club, and then she came and rode with Lisa through Young Riders at our barn there, and I started working with her as well, and of course, as she won the silver medal at the Beijing Olympics, and has moved on from there to starting her own barn, and she has a Pony Club center, and she has tons of students. Kids are going to Young Riders. So, she's a perfect example of somebody who's come out of the Pony Club system, just as Lisa and I did, and has become a professional. And there's a number of people like that. David Adamo out here in California, who's on the East Coast for a while, same thing. These are people who all are working toward that idea of starting Pony Club centers. Lisa, I know, has a number of people she could name who are top trainers now who are starting Pony Club centers, and from that you'll get even more trainers coming out of the same system because you're going to be well-rounded horsemen. And that includes people coming into the ICP program. I mean, the USCI ICP program is, you know, a great next step for these kids. They you know, get to their HB or their B or their HA and their A, and they can move on in from Pony Club into ICP or simultaneously and become ICP certified and get, you know, continue to become top professionals.
So I want to make a comment to that. Is the hunter jumper world has made an that all the trainers have an easy entry into the sport, right? And they, all the hunter jumper trainers in my area here have beginner programs, but none of the event riders did. And that's what I'm trying to do, to make an easy entry into the sport where they can get started and move forward into the sport. And that's what event riders, all the top event trainers, need to be thinking about doing that, starting a beginner program, having someone else run it with them, but making easy entry into the sport, and that's what's going to grow eventing. Go ahead.
On that same note, let me chime in on that as well. On that same note, when Lisa had a we worked together with the local Pony Club region, and Robert Kellerhaus, who, as you know, the you know, a great organizer of events, agreed to run a rally, a Pony Club rally, simultaneous with a USEA registered event, and the results were spectacular. We had at least had 10 kids that were both in the rally and competing in the registered event. And these are 10 brand new USEA members. And they all their parents walked into that office, and they all became USEA members. And of the 10 kids that she took to that show that were in the Pony Club rally, I believe nine or 10 parents took the class to become jump judges in the morning from the technical delegate and went out and volunteered because they can't go in the stable area. They had nothing to do with the kids at the rally. So where were they? They were volunteering. So if people want more volunteers, that's the way to do it. Now we have, you know, 10 plus parents who are excited about going to the events, and instead of hanging around bugging their kids, they're out there jump judging. And that gets pretty exciting if you actually look at how the numbers could make a giant difference in the sport.
Very much so. I just want to ask you about horses, though, Brian, or ponies. Presumably you're able to find them, if horses or ponies, if they want to get started in the sport at a young age.
You better be talking to Lisa about that question, because that's what she spends a lot of her days and evenings doing, is looking at ponies.
I know. I know we are in need. And you know, the last, you know, several years, there's been this kind of recession, and I think there's a huge lack of amateur and horses and ponies out there. And I, every day, myself and all my trainers, we watch videos, we're looking, looking constantly for ponies. So maybe as I'm sitting here promoting that people get these programs started, maybe I'm kind of going to be injuring myself more, because it's going to make it even harder to find horses. And but there is a lack of horses. There's a huge hole in eventing ponies. And then small horses. My favorite is really the 14 to 15, and that range where they can do the horse stride still, and but they're small enough that a child can get on it. And I shouldn't just say children, because what I have found is not just my kid program has grown with this, my adult program has grown, and we have a lot of adults looking for horses too. Or that small size 15-2 hand horse is so valuable, and you know, safe, that goes around. And a lot of them are older event horses. I've been able to pick up some older 1-star, 2-star horses that are calm enough to back down the levels and go beginner novice. That's always fun to see.
So of the young people that you have now going through your program, Lisa, can you give us any names for any future rising stars?
Oh, gosh, if I list the name, I'm going to have to list them all, because I have a lot of future rising stars. And, you know, just this last weekend, I had two 10-year-olds go around beginner novice beautifully at Twin Rivers, and I'm so proud of them. And here they're only 10. And to be 10 years old going around that big cross-country course, really. You think about way out there and back. I was so proud. So I hate to mention any names because I believe they're all Olympians in my heart right now. They're going to the top.
Well, that's an encouragement right there. Brian, is there anything you would like to add?
I would like anybody who's listening or who can download the podcast and listen to it or give it to a friend who has a training stable. I would suggest that if they love the sport and they want to have a business long term, that they begin a beginner program, get somebody to join with them, a younger trainer who is hungry and looking for a business, and start a Pony Club Center and grow from the bottom up. I think that's the key. You know, Pony Club is, in my opinion, has a system that is it's perfect for beginning a correct foundation for children. And their catchphrase is Pony Club, where it all begins. And we absolutely believe in that. Move on with that into creating more USEA ICP certified instructors. And we're going to find that it's going to be tough to shake the U.S. from the gold medal podium stands at all the major equestrian events.
Well, there is a rallying cry. Lisa, any message that you would like to give to parents who are thinking of getting their children involved with the sport?
Well, it's a great sport. And as my dad said, he wanted me chasing after the four-legged animals, and I ended up coming home with a two-legged one, which was my husband, Brian. But keeping the kids running around chasing after four-legged animals, it keeps them sound and keeps the kid, not the horse, but it keeps them on track through their high school years and doing good, solid activities through their high school and college years. And then many of them will stick to it. So it's a great sport for kids. To keep them busy. They're going to be busy doing something. You might as well keep them busy in this healthy environment.
Absolutely.
So great,
great message and great work that you're doing there to get young people to come into the sport and to stay in the sport. So thank you both very much indeed for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. It's a great program.
And you can find out more about the opportunities for children in California with Brian and Lisa on their website at saboeventing.com. And you can learn more about the instructor certification program that Brian referred to on the website at useventing.com. For those of you who are new to the podcast, you can listen to the show on the go by downloading it from the iTunes podcast store to your smartphone podcast app. Just search for USEA in the podcast store. And if you'd like to read the transcript from this show, that is available on the website at useventing.com. Until next week, thanks for listening and enjoy your eventing.